Welcome to the Lately in PHP podcast. This is episode 65, and as usual, we have very interesting topics to discuss. This time with Arthur Sozins, that almost could not make it due to a demanding baby. Hello, Arthur. How are you doing?
Oh, yeah. It's really hard. Well, but it's always like this, probably, with babies. But yeah, I made it, so it should be okay.
Yeah, it was just look like you didn't have enough sleep, but the weekend is coming closer.
Yeah, I'm waiting for it.
Okay, but we are here to talk about the topics being discussed lately in the PHP community regarding PHP development and other related news. So we are going to start as usual with the latest PHP releases. As you may be aware, PHP 5.4 is no longer being updated because it reached the end of line for the updates that were for the last times more about security. And but there were some updates for PHP 5.5.13 as well, PHP 5.6.14. As 5.5, the updates were mostly on security, so there were not many updates, many bugs being fixed, but there are a few. For 5.6, it included some bug fixes, so there is not really much more to say because there is nothing really, really important. Just be concerned that if any of these bugs affect your code, you should be always be updating. And other than that, we had a few more release candidates for PHP 7. And
seven already? Seven release candidates?
Yes, it seems the last one was released just today. PHP 7.0.0RC7 was released today. It was supposed to be the final PHP release, but unfortunately they had to postpone it because there are a few bugs that were causing crashes.
Yeah, well,
so they decided to postpone.
Maybe not so unfortunately, because it's better to have a stable release rather than...
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately for those that were anxious to start using PHP 7 final release, as usual, people wait for these releases because I think that's mostly because the distributions that make PHP available only pick stable releases, and so they are not making these release candidates available. And well, with all the promises and the benefits of PHP 7 for many months, some people at least are very eager, and this is something that we'll also comment a little ahead in this podcast because of the survey that I've been conducting regarding whether people want to adopt PHP 7 or not. Anyway, moving on to the next topic, which is related with the acquisition of Zen by Rogue Wave. Not sure if this is the right way to pronounce the name of that company. For many years, I think Zen received proposals to be acquired. I think even IBM tried to acquire Zen, if I am not mistaken, or just a rumor. And finally, they agreed to sell. So the big question for the PHP community is, will this acquisition affect PHP somehow? Will it be better, or there will be some problems or not? There were some people expressing opinions. There is an article here by this author.
Sorry. Chris Tankersley.
Yeah. And, well, just expressing his opinion about whether Zen will disappear, what happened with this Zen license, and
basically, yeah, if you are concerned with what will happen, this is actually a great article explaining what exactly Zen is and what they can do, and what now Rogue Waves can do after acquiring Zen. And to sum it up, it's quite reassuring that nothing much will change, and PHP will remain the same and available.
Yeah.
As we talked behind the scenes, that we both think that might be, if someone acquired Zen, that they would assign more resources to PHP development, and if anything, we would even see more development at PHP than we have saw before.
Yeah, yes, maybe it's possible that with they have a greater budget to assign to PHP, and hire more core developers to develop PHP faster, and add more complicated features that depend on the Zen engine. And but that's just one possibility. It may happen or not. Another concern was about the Zen engine license. Will it be changed, or because some convenience of the acquiring company? That is very unlikely. I read some discussions in the internals that for the Zen engine license to change, it seems that all the contributors would have to agree with the change. And there are already some contributors that said that they would not agree to change it to anything very different than the PHP license. So there's really nothing to be concerned. Things will continue to happen as before. Probably they will get better with more resources. Let's see if that happens or not. But there is really nothing to be concerned, I think. Okay, so now moving on to some discussions about the proposed features. And the first feature that we are going to talk about is about one that it was actually already voted. It was already proposed early this year to have a type int, actually a non-type int for the return types, which would be called void. Void is used like in C, the C language, to specify that a function will not return any value. So if somebody creates a function of type void and then returns a value, it will issue an error. And because it most likely will be a mistake, something that was due to some confusion. So with the void type int, it will help to detect some bugs that probably would go unnoticed. And of course, this is for future PHP versions, and specifically PHP 7.1. I don't know. I think this is a good idea, but I don't know what is your opinion. What do you think?
Yeah, I would agree with most of them. And the main point that I saw from discussions, the main point discussed was about the null value. If it returns null, is it void or not? Because in PHP function returns nothing, the return value is still null. So it kind of the same, but it kills the purpose of having void, which should not return anything by definition. So returning null value is invalid here, and I think it's the right case. I just wanted to point it out, and I agree with most of them, and it would make it easier to define APIs for classes to be used, and the type hinting to be checked to be more bug error prone.
Yes, so with if it's a function, it's of type void, and now returning null is invalid, right?
Yeah,
that could be also something that helped to catch a few more bugs in case somebody wrote some confusing code. And another proposal that is being discussed, I'm not sure if this is going very far, is about having trailing commas in function arguments. Function arguments are usually separated with commas, but after the last one, there is no comma, it's just the closing brackets. The idea, it was just to make it similar to arrays, because in PHP, arrays can have a trailing comma after the last element, so no more elements will be added.
Yeah, it makes easier to copy, insert new values, because if I always think about not leaving trailing comma, I usually forgot to add it to the previous element when I add the new element, and it really is irritating. And it really reminds me of the JavaScript where this is also possible, but when you run the code through JS hint, it will show that the trailing comma is not compatible with older Internet Explorer browsers and stuff like that. So you usually try to think about it and not leave the trailing comma behind.
Yeah, I think if you put a trailing comma, it's like adding another element, null or something.
With arrays and objects, no, it's just a trailing comma, it won't do anything.
I mean, for function arguments.
Yeah, but for function, yeah, it's again the same problem. And while I see why we could leave trailing comma for arrays, objects, and stuff like that, I really didn't ever need it for function arguments. I don't know why. And as we see in the example provided, then how he declares the function arguments each in own line, that it would make sense if he changes it to leave the trailing comma here. But for some reason, I never needed it. I don't know why. Maybe because I know if argument would be so variable and I would change them, that I just use an array and pass an array to a function or something like that.
Well, the proponent says that it makes for clean diffs. Like if you add an extra argument, since you don't need to put the trailing comma, the diff will just show the new line, not the previous line that had the comma.
True, that's true.
Yeah, well, I don't know if this is a great argument, but okay, it is something that is being discussed. He also mentioned that it would match what HHVM did a while ago. I don't know if the core developers like these types of arguments, like We need to do that because HHVM also supports it. It's like admitting that PHP is playing catch up with HHVM.
It's probably not a good political move, but yeah.
Yeah, not somebody will be upset, but well, I don't know. Anyway, this is still being proposed, so we'll see if this passes or not. Okay, so now moving on to a next topic that is about something that I noticed very few people knew that this was possible. I think this is already possible since May, but there was an article by Intel that explained this in more detail. I even talked with them to write this article, just to understand how it would work, because they published an article let me share the screen. Okay, so the article is about an approach called PGO that some people call POGO, and even show a comic here, cartoon, and about the POGO character. And the point of this optimization is that besides all the speed improvements that PHP 7 already provides, you can compile PHP, I mean the PHP engine, I mean the C or C++ code, the PHP engine, the Xen engine, the PHP extensions, you can compile it in a way that is optimized for a specific application. So how does this work? Basically, you compile it with one option that makes it generate profiling statistics, and I suppose it goes to some file with the statistics, and then you have to compile it again and tell the build process to use those statistics, the information that was collected during the execution of PHP with a specific application. For instance, let's say you want to optimize PHP 7 for WordPress. So first, you would do the usual configure, make install, except that the make step would be replaced by make prof gen, as explained here. Then you would run PHP with WordPress, probably access some pages of a sample blog, and navigate it.
Basically use it as you would normally use your web application.
Yeah, because it's to optimize it for the regular usage.
Yeah.
You probably will not optimize for every single case of usage of WordPress, but it must be sufficient to collect some statistics. Then you'd call make again, but use the prof use parameter to compile it again. So PHP would finally be optimized for the specific application, in this case WordPress, as I mentioned, but could be any other application. This means that we can have multiple versions of the same PHP version optimized for different PHP applications. Yeah. And what Intel claims is that in their experiments, they observed a difference between 7% and 8% running WordPress. And well, this experiment was carried by Intel, and I even contact them to understand this better, if this required their special C compiler that they have. Now that they said no, this is something that is this possibility is available on different compilers, including GCC, which is the compiler that is usually used to compile PHP on Linux. And so this is nothing tied to a product of Intel. Although when using this with the Intel processor, it may give different results than non-Intel processor, because there are differences on the way they run code. And other than that, there are also mentioned in the article that the PGO support was also enabled in the PHP version 4 Windows that Microsoft provides, because Microsoft Visual C, C++ also have the support to PGO, and it has been enabled at least since PHP 5.4. Actually, if you go to the Windows site, you can read on the side, let me increase the font here, on the side of the page, that they use the build PHP optimized with PGO. I just don't know what version of PHP, what sample application of PHP they use to optimize with PGO. Maybe it's some common scripts, or maybe a mix of some libraries, popular libraries or frameworks or WordPress or some applications. I have no idea. But they mentioned that in the past they could reach gains of performance in the level of 17% of WordPress. But okay, this is in 2010. Maybe the numbers today are different, but it's still a significant number to mention, and it could help, well, at least companies that have large hosting bases. For instance, a company that specializes in WordPress hosting may want to compile the PHP specifically with this PGO support using WordPress for as the application that they will try to optimize to. So I think this is great to know. I noticed that this is not very, this is not a topic that is very well commented in the PHP community, and I thought it would be interesting to write an article. Artus, were you aware about this PGO optimization?
No, not really. But I think the problem is that most PHP developers use hostings that already provide PHP in them, so they can't control it. But if you have your own hosting, or if you have full control over it, and you know you want to run one specific application as fast and as efficient as possible, then that is the great way to do it, yeah.
Yeah, it hopefully will get you some gains in terms of performance.
Like,
and
I think it would help in your case, right?
Yeah, because I built PHP manually. I just don't know when I will adopt PHP 7, but that's a different story. Because the code must also be ready to deal with backwards incompatible changes, but that it's a specific problem. But yeah, so since I compile it manually, everybody that compiles it manually could take advantage of this possibility to optimize to their own specific applications. You can even have different PHP versions running in parallel. For instance, if I use PHP to send newsletters, which I do, and that is done on the background using the CLI version, I could, for instance, compile PHP with the CLI version optimized for that specific task. Yeah. So it's not just optimizations at application level, but could be also optimizations at task level, to the point that you can have different PHP CLI versions for different tasks. So it is an interesting possibility. But that's something that it will take me time to consider before I try it. I hope this optimization does not add any bugs, because we don't know exactly yet. Probably give it some time and see if anybody is complaining. I think very few people you use it. As you mentioned, everybody will use the version that is available by their, on their hosting company. So, well, let's see what happens. Okay. Well, finally, I wanted to comment about something that I announced last month. Actually, after we talked about it, it would be interesting to know if the PHP community will actually adopt PHP 7 and when. And so I created a survey. This survey is about, just asks a few questions. First, if you are planning to use PHP 7 in production, and then another one for the development environment. And finally, just out of curiosity, just to determine if PHP, what PHP version you are using currently in production. And of course, for some people it varies because they work for different customers, and different customers are in different hosting companies and probably use different versions. But well, the idea was to just collect some opinions and show them when PHP 7 was supposed to be released. The initial panel was for October 19, but there were many release candidates. And since PHP 7 was delayed again, it won't be now that it will be released. I'm going to give it some more time. For those that are seeing this, can go to this page. And I even created a short URL that is easy to memorize, bit.ly/PHP survey.
PHP 7 survey.
And I go there, it says that already responded. And okay, you go here and you just fill the survey with those questions. Now, I wonder if anybody would be interested that I show a quick sneak preview of the results. What do you think, Arthur? What do you think? Are you curious?
Yeah, basically want to see who would adopt it right away, who is already using it, and which PHP versions are popular now.
Yeah, and well, basically, I can show it very quickly. So far there were like 512, I think. And well, this is the sneak preview. I'm not going to comment.
Anything yet?
Oh, because I forgot to share the screen.
That was really sneaky preview. That you don't show us anything.
It's a sneak preview. And okay, I'm not going to interpret this result, just to not influence. So whoever wants to see it, the results are here. And okay, that's all. Well, the idea is just to publish these results with some interpretation for the comments that I would like to make to express what I think about what the community is telling in terms of adoption. Since it was a quite large enough number of people that responded, over 500 responses, it is a quite significant sample, and it's not something defined by a minority. So, well, let's wait for the PHP 7 to finally be released, because I plan to publish such article in that date.
And if someone didn't yet fill the survey, they should definitely do. The more fills it, the interesting will be the results.
Yeah. So basically, that's it about this survey. Okay, now we are going to comment about the Innovation Award winners, specifically the nominees of August that were nominated in September for voting, and then in October the results come out. So we'll start about JS Class nominees. Arthur, which ones would you like to comment?
Yeah, the first one I would want to comment is jQuery Type by Letter. Class was created by Jackson Norton from United States, and basically it's a jQuery plugin where you provide the string and it could provide a type like effect. So I think there was a demo also here. Probably need to refresh the page only for you to see it. Yeah, as you see, here is the effect.
Yeah.
You probably also submit something. So that's what the component do. It's some simple, great effect that you could use in your website.
And, yeah, it's a simple one, but a nice effect.
Yeah. And Jackson got one book of choice by PACT for this package. And the next thing I wanted to comment is my own package that I created. It's a Count with Web SDK. Basically, it's a browser SDK for a Countly analytics server, the company I'm working for. And basically, Web SDK is one of my projects that I'm managing. And I also decided to submit it to JS classes because, well, why not? It could get more exposure, more users, so why not? And yeah, if you're using Countly for mobile devices, now we also support web analytics through this SDK.
Yeah, that's useful to know. Well, on my behalf, I also would like to comment about one package. Let me share the screen here. And specifically, this package is called HTML5 Circle Audio Player, which is making audio players, but with a different shape and form of usage. This package is by Arish Chauhan from India, and it's a shame that it does not provide a demo so I could show you, nor screenshots, but basically it shows all the players that appear to be round, and you can control the volume. I think it's the volume or it's the position, I'm not sure. In a ring of the circle. So this is an interesting a different way to present other players. Now let's see how the Innovation Award rankings are in terms of the year 2015. Well, for the Innovation Award ranking of JavaScript, the positions are more or less the same. They have changed very little, but let's take a look at how all the standings are. First, Anders Toth with 6 packets and 23 points. Suresh Kumar from India with 4 packets and 13 points. Then followed with Jackson Knowlton with two packages and 9 points. Then Diego Lana Monica from Italy with 2 packages and 8 points, and Stephen Chapman in the same position with 2 packages and 8 points. Then comes Arthur Sossins that is catching up with 3 packages and 8 points. Then Dusan Boskic with 2 packages and 7 points, and then tied with him Gianluca Ferrari with 1 package and 7 points. Then Franz Josef Brunner from Austria with 2 packages and 6 points, and Everton Rosa tied with 1 package and 6 points. And 4 countries, it's almost the same order, but not exactly. I mean order of authors and countries. First, Hungary with 6 packages and 23 points. Then India, 6 packages and 20 points, followed by United States, 3 packages and 10 points. Then France, 3 packages and 10 points. Italy, 2 packages and 8 points. And then Australia and Latvia also tied with 8 points. Then Serbia and Netherlands with 7 points. And finally, Austria with 6 points. Well, for the JavaScript Innovation Award, that's it. So, for the Innovation Award of PHP site this month, we have quite a few nominees, like 14. It is great to see so many innovations, but it is also a lot more work for us to comment about them. Yeah. Arthur, which ones would you like to comment?
So the first one interesting that I found being nominated is PHP User Predictor by Samuel Adeshina from Nigeria. Basically, it's a component that uses Face++ API, and it can try to predict different user properties based on the photo. So, like, if you would look here, an example, so it could be like an age or race, and it seems that the, I don't know if that's the API or the package provides a SQL-like syntax what to query from the photograph. So I like the idea. It seems quite interesting. Maybe not so many applications, but the idea is really interesting and innovative. So that's why I found it great. And Samuel got one downloadable ebook of choice by O'Reilly for this package. The next one I wanted to mention is Array Search package by Matthew Knowlton. And basically, what it does, it takes your PHP array, inserts it into database, and allows you to perform SQL searches on this array and return results. at first it might seem like a little overkill, and probably would not work for small arrays, but for large data sets it would provide much more better handling, filtering, sorting, and all the manipulations you need to do.
Yeah. Eventually, it will be a much slower way to sort and arrays and filter them, show unique columns, group them. But it is a way to achieve what you can do already with databases.
Yeah, it's a really interesting idea. I think that's why you got to the higher place. I think the second place, really like the idea. Interesting.
Okay, on my behalf, I also like to comment a few packages. Let's start from this PHP XMLDB, which is basically a database, just like you have SQL databases. Yes, that would help.
That would really help.
I was just trying to see if you are paying attention. And well, anyway, this is a package, as I was saying, that can perform similar operations to manipulate tables. You can add and remove tables, add and remove columns, perform basic CRUD operations. To create, retrieve, and update records from those tables, except that they will be stored in XML files. And this package was developed by Anki from Croatia, and he picked a $1 copy of PHP Add Professional. And another package that I wanted to comment is basically a package that implements a mappings a naming strategy for mapping tables to the names of the properties that are mapped to tables when you use the Doctrine ORM, and this class implements a mapping strategy that uses dots to separate the fields and the field the property, I mean the entity names. So this package by Rafael Espinosa from Cuba got the 9th place. In this case, it did not pick a prize. Now, for the PHP Innovation Award ranking of 2015, the things are getting closer to the end of the year, so the rankings are more well defined. First, Dave Smith with a great advantage with 9 packages and 88 points. Then Matthew Knowlton with 4 packages and 53 points, followed by Samuel Adesina with 4 packages and 44 points, then Dmitry Mamontov with 4 packages and 42 points, then Till Wielski from Germany with 4 packages and 28 points, then José Luis Lasso with 2 packages and 27 points from Spain, Alexander Sifonov from Russia with 2 packages and 26 points, tied with Gali Ahmed from Turkey, also with 26 points. Then Wap Morgan from Russia with 5 packages and 24 points. And then Alessio Feliciani with 2 packages and 22 points. By country, things are also more or less well defined. We can see that there are countries that are stronger because they have more users, more participants contributing to their rankings. United States is ahead with 16 packages and 159 points, which is a great score, probably the largest score in all of these years. Then Russia with 14 packages in 112 points. Then Spain with 6 packages in 60 points. Nigeria with 6 packages in 59 points. Then Germany with 8 packages in 51 points. India with 6 packages in 49 points. And France with 5 packages in 37 points. Then comes Egypt with 4 packages in 36 points. Tunisia with 4 packages in 32 points. And finally, Italy, 2 packages in 22 points. So either by country, by individual, or by country, things are more or less well defined, because we only have 2 more months to go. I mean, in terms of rankings, at least the first positions are more or less well defined, but they can still change. At least mathematically, it's possible. So this is very, very interesting. Let's see how this will end. But since we are getting close to the end, we already know that things are very well defined, at least for this year. And let's see if next year the things will be different. Well, with this, we practically end this podcast. I'd like to thank you, Hortus, again for coming. And let's wait and see for the PHP 7 releases, what will be the repercussion. Let's see if next month, by this time, next time we record the podcast, it will be ready. So on my behalf, that is all for now. Bye.
Bye.